know I've told it several times here in different places when I've preached and ministered outside. My daddy, right before he passed away, he knew he was going, 92 years of age. And several times, he would reach over and get my hand. I'd go down and visit him. Sometimes I'd be taking him to the doctor and be steering the car, left hand, and always rested my right hand up on the gear shift. My feeble daddy reached over his 92-year-old hand and picked up my hand off of the gear shift there and kissed the back of it. He said, "Son, I love you more than I could ever tell you I love you. I'm ready to go, and I know it won't be long. I'm getting ready to leave here, and I love you." He kissed me on the cheek, and I even wrote the time down when I went down and visited him. You know what? If that's ever put a go-ye in my soul, is to know that he's waiting on me. How many out there has got loved ones? Friends that have gone on, ministers of the gospel, a precious mommy, and a precious daddy. I've told Mary many times I'd like to wrap my arm around my little short daddy. He was short. And when I hugged him, I always hugged him and put my cheek on the top of his forehead, his warm forehead. You know, there'll be another day, that a grand reunion day on the other side. Daddy gave me those words. He said, "Son, I'm ready to go and see your mommy and be with Jesus, and I want you to be with me." And how many knows that's something we're fighting for and to hold on for? I've got treasures laid up over there. I've got mansions. There's mansions in that place. And to think there'll never be a tear. God said, "Behold, I wipe away all tears from all faces. And behold, I make all things new. There will be a new heaven and a new earth." Ain't you glad of that? Oh, what a promise of God. He won't need a sun to shine in that city, the moon and the stars, and not even a candle to light it. But Jesus will be the glory of that city. It'll radiate through the whole kingdom, the light of the love of Almighty God. Can you imagine the redeemed that are over there right now? They're not a hurting. They're not sick. They're not in pain. They're not crippled. They're not bowed over. They're not on walkers. They're not fighting cancer. They're not laboring to breathe. But thank God they got a brand new body made like unto Christ, this glorious body. It'll be worth it. Hallelujah. I was thinking, I don't know what foot it'll be when I step inside the gates of that city. I don't know if I'll step in on the right foot on the street of gold, or it'll be the left one first. But I know one thing, Jesus will be there to welcome us in. And more than anything in my life, I've got to make it, and I want to hear him say, "Well done." How many out there is laboring for that very moment when you can lay the cross down on this side of the river and go on over on the other side and take up the crown? Thank God. I tell you what, he's got a robe that nobody can wear but me, and it's been tailor-made and it's been fashioned by the hands of the Lord. Jesus has given us a hope. He said, "I go away to prepare a place for you." And he said, "If I go away and prepare that place," he said, "I'm not coming again. I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Can I tell you, one of the disciples said, "Lord, show us the way." And Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I am the door to the sheepfold. I am the good shepherd. I am that I am." I tell you, with a knowledge like that, you can make it and you can serve the Lord. I told Mary this morning, oh, it'll pay off to hold to him and to cling to that old rugged cross. And one of these days, our labors and our troubles will be over. It'd be easy to preach this morning, but I do have something that I want to help everybody out there that's tuned in. Hebrews 11:1. Now, N-O-W, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Romans 8:24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? Oh, that blessed hope. For the next few moments, I want to preach and teach on
that glorious word, hope. A little four-letter word that'll keep you through the thick and the thin. The Holy Ghost said in Hebrews 1, now faith is, it's present tense. Hope is future tense. It'll take both faith and hope to make it through and make it to heaven. You cannot leave one of them out and succeed in your Christian life. You can never go forward and you will never win. Listen to me. You can never obtain the promises of God and know His blessings. You'll never prosper and experience the joy of the Lord without faith and without hope. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you say, I still believe. No matter what comes my way and the troubles and the trials, I still believe in God. Listen to me this morning. Faith is the mother of hope, and they are twin pillars on which my spiritual house stands. Take one of them away and we will fall. We won't stand and you cannot endure. Hallelujah. Can you say, Lord, put a faith down deep inside of me, a faith that will refuse to be denied. I want us to look at these two words real close this morning. Thank God for faith. It took faith for you to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith has a voice. Faith says, I believe God. Woo! I believe in His word. I believe God sent His son. Do you? I believe He loves me. Do you? I believe every promise that He gave me. I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe in the cross and the nails and the blood that flowed from the Savior's veins. I believe that He shed every drop of it for me. I believe and I know the blood cleanses. I believe it flowed for me. Jesus paid a debt that I could go free. I believe in an empty tomb. And Jesus rose from the dead. The grave could not hold Him. He came triumphant out of it over sin, death, and hell. Hallelujah. He is alive. I believe that He lives in my heart. No man can make me doubt it. The devil can never take it out of my heart. I believe, therefore, I am saved. Thank God for a deep down settled faith in God. I believe that I can make it. I believe the Lord that I serve will take care of me. Faith is believing from down in your heart. And can you say this morning, in spite of all that's going on in this world around us, in our sick society, I still believe. Praise be to the Lord forever. Can I tell you this morning, I wasn't there when they drove the nails in His hands. I wasn't there when they put Him on a cross and they nailed nails through His precious tender feet. I wasn't there when they erected that cross and dropped it down in a hole. I wasn't there to hear His words. I'd say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, I thirst. Oh God, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And He gave up the ghost and He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. I wasn't there when they took His body down and pulled the nails out of His hands and out of His feet and wrapped Him up in grave clothes and put Him in a grave and sealed the stone over the sepulcher. I wasn't there on that third glorious morning when the stone was rolled away and Jesus came out of there with glory, hallelujah, and power both in heaven and earth. But I believe it this morning.
Yes, amen.
You know why that I believe that? Because I got the evidence in my soul.
Right.
I can feel the witness within my heart.
Yes.
And I thank God for what I know, the knowledge that I have, and how I was raised in a Christian home and told and taught about a Savior and about Jesus that loved me so much that He died for me. Thank You, Father. Oh, I believe, Jesus, I believe. Let's look now real close at that word hope. So you might ask me this morning, Brother Tommy, where does hope fit in? What part does it play in our spiritual life in serving God? Well, I'll tell you this morning, without hope, you'll never make it. Your boat will surely sink and go down in a troubled sea. I'm going somewhere.
Come on.
I'm going somewhere. Remember Romans 8:24? For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? Our hope of heaven will one day materialize. And it'll come into view. You'll taste it, you'll see it, you'll feel it, you'll hear it. It'll be a reality. But until then, we must continue on, child of God, in hope. What is the Holy Ghost telling us?
Come on.
Look at the definition now of hope. Have you ever looked it up? It is the desire for something good with the expectation of obtaining it. You know that. You've read it in God's Word. You believe with all of your heart that heaven is real, and you know it's there. You're persuaded of it. You know the reward is coming. If there is no hope, there's no excitement. Lord, don't ever let me lose the excitement of serving you. Can you tell the Lord this morning? Lord, I never want to lose that anticipation and that expectation and that desire, Lord, in my heart to go and be with you. When you have that hope, that blessed hope in your heart, you anticipate seeing and reaching it. By faith, you work toward that goal of obtaining your home in heaven. Can I tell you this morning, hope is faith's eyes. It's faith's eyes. It looks out into the future. It casts its eyes over the stormy, dark horizon.
Yes.
And it says, child, just keep holding on. Keep going. You cannot let up now. Soon your heart's dream will materialize when you walk through heaven's gate. Can you say, Lord, I'm a still holding on. I'm a holding, Lord, on. And I still believe. My faith is in you. Now you see that it takes both faith and hope. Listen now. To be saved in the end.
Yes.
Think of it this way. After serving God and finishing your race and you step inside of heaven's gate, you won't need faith anymore because your hope materialized. I heard a song one time and it really touched me. The grace that saved you and the mercy that led you and kept you, you won't be needing them anymore. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. When you bow before the King, you'll say goodbye to mercy and grace and faith and hope. You won't need them anymore. Can you just say, Lord, it's on this side of eternity that I need that faith, that strong hope, and I need grace and mercy.
Yes.
Because when I step inside the gate and stand before the King, there won't be any more need of it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
There won't be any more need of it. Praise God forever.
Yes, amen.
Oh, Jesus. What do you see this morning? How is your vision? What are you focused on? I want to slow this down. I could preach it. What are you really, really, really focused on? And what is your heart set on this morning?
Yeah.
What is your main purpose? What is your main goal? What is it way down deep inside of you? There's a cry. There's a desire. What is it? What do you see this morning? Right now, do you still have a longing for heaven? Does the desire still burn in your heart? Is your vision still clear and bright and bring the joy of serving God? Does that blessed hope still drive you and propel you onward?
Oh.
Onward, pilgrim soldier. Does it still cheer you in your trials? Or has the devil come and clouded your mind and vision with trouble? Hallelujah. Can I tell you, we're living in the last days, and we're surely living in perilous times. Here is where the enemy of our soul, this is where I want to get in this message. Here is where the enemy of our soul will wool us. He'll vex us. He'll try us. He comes to hit us. Don't let him dim your vision and take away your hope. He'll rob you if you let him. People who have hope have a good outlook. Proverbs 10:28, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. Hope will keep faith alive in your heart. God, fill us with gladness. Fill us with the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord will be your strength in this last day, saith God. It'll keep you. It'll keep you in the race. Hallelujah. Won't you get on your knees and hallelujah, pray and open your heart to God and open the Word of God and read it and shine up that hope on the inside of you. I read this article this morning, and I'm here to this morning to declare that your hope will see you through difficult times. Listen to what I'm going to read you. During World War II, 25,000 American soldiers were held prisoners by the Japanese in POW camps. They were forced to exist in inhumane conditions. They suffered. Many of them gave up and they died in the prisoner camps. But the others survived and eventually were released. And they got to go home to freedom. There was no difference in the physical strength and the stamina of these two groups of soldiers. The survivors were different in one major respect. They were dreamers. They had a hope on the inside of them that one day they would be free.
Yeah.
When interviewed later of how they made it through their suffering, they said, "We kept our dreams alive by talking about them all the time, about what kind of homes we would have, the jobs we would choose," and they described the kind of person that they wanted to marry. We even drew pictures on the walls of our prison of what our house would look like that we desired to live in one day. That deep down hope in their heart kept them from giving up. They had dreams that did not die. A vision in their souls that propelled them onward. Researchers have discovered in their studies that having a hopeful attitude will strengthen the body, improve the immune system, and even heal a troubled mind.
Oh God, hallelujah, we need hope in this hour. And can I tell you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Raise your little hand and praise Him. I've got Him. I've got Him. I got Jesus. I got hope. I got the blood. I got the Holy Ghost. I got eternal life. I got it down deep on the inside of me. A long time ago, when I knelt at an altar of prayer, and Jesus got into my heart, and He came into my soul, I got it. I got that hope this morning. Dreamed of that. I can see those prisoners, whatever they used to draw with, on the caves of those walls, the walls of the caves, and they drew, and I can see their little skinny fingers, and they had lost weight and were starving, and they said one to another, this is what I want my house to look like. And another said, let me draw you one of what I got in my mind. I'll draw a picture of the time that I want to live in. I'm telling you, if you go into Revelation and read about heaven, gates of pearl and walls of jasper and streets of purest gold, hallelujah, it'll put a hope down on the inside of you. There's a river of life flowing through that land. Can you say right now, sweet Holy Ghost, give me that hope. Take me, God, I pray in my heart, and show me your glory.
Jesus.
Bible said that eyes have not seen, the ears have not heard. It ain't even entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him and serve Him. But they have been revealed to them by the Holy Ghost. You know what will help you read the Word of God? The Spirit of the Lord will help you read it.
Yes.
It was the finger of God. The Holy Ghost moved upon the prophets and the apostles of old. And they wrote, they were inspired. God breathed upon them sweet anointing of the Lord. And they wrote to us these promises. And they got life in them. Life is in the Word of God. Here's where I want to get.
Come on.
People are giving up.
Yes.
And in the natural way of looking at it, I can understand if they didn't have God. I feel the Lord, man.
Come on. Where are you going, Brother Tommy?
Holy, 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 holy. Oh, God, I feel you. Do you know why many people get so low and discouraged that they give up inside? Before you ever give up outside, you first get weak and discouraged and give up in here first.
Right.
People lose faith and stop believing, and their hope dies. It dies. It withers within them. If you could visit the psych wards, you'd see pitiful cases of men and women who lost all hope. They didn't look to God and believe in Him. Satan blinded their minds and filled them with hopelessness. I had a woman to call me one time, and she said, would you go see my son? I said, and I worked with him. I worked with him at the plant. And the way God moved and worked that out, another man should have got that job. He bidded on it. Another man that was older in seniority, there was some kind of a technical problem there. And this younger boy got it. And he got on my job and he worked with me. I ran the crane, the overhead crane, and he worked with me on the floor being my hookup man. This boy was much younger than I was. He had long hair. He had a nerve problem, and he plucked every bit of the eyelashes out of his eyelids. He was schizophrenic. And he'd come in there, so tore up, and the boss would upset him. And he said, Tommy, I'm going to kill the boss. On the break time, I would pull him aside. I mean, this happened over and over and over. He's going to kill somebody. He didn't have any hope in here. I pulled him aside on break time many times, Brother Charlie. I called his name. I said, son, you can't do that. I said, that is wrong to even think about hurting anybody. And I said, what you really need is God down inside of your heart. That's what's missing in your life is Jesus. And you need him in your heart. He got off on a medical leave. He was gone. I hadn't heard from him for a while. His mother called me. She said, Tommy, would you go see him? He's up at the mental hospital. And she gave me the code number to get in and tell them the code so they could take me back. And got in, got on the elevator and went up. When I got off, that guard, big old guard, he came to get me. And I gave him the code number and I told him who I was there to see. We walked back through that hallway and walked into the room. He wasn't in there. The big guard looked at me. He says, I know where he's at. Says, he does this all the time. And I said, he walked over to where the closet was and he pulled the door open on the closet. And there was that friend of mine that worked with me, huddled like this, all bent up and bowed over in that closet. You know, it's amazing what a shape people's mind can get in.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, I feel you. Mind the house. People are getting to where they don't want to live.
Oh, God.
They think that they can't face up to another tomorrow in their life. They think that there's no hope for them.
Come on.
I called his name. I said, son, come out here. Come out here. I said, I love you. He come out there and I had him to sit down on the side of his cot and I sat there with him. And I began to talk to him about Jesus. Jesus can make a difference. God's love can heal you, son. There's hope in the Lord. He died for you. I prayed for him with all of my heart. He looked at me. He said, Tommy, he said, there's something about you. He said, when I prayed, he said, when I was on my job and I was so tore up, I didn't want to live and I wanted to hurt others. And he said, there was something about you when you began to talk to me. He said, it lifted off. He said, I've never had anybody that I really enjoyed working with but you. He said, I felt peace from you. And I'm thankful that I got the job and worked for with you on that job. Oh, God, help us. Oh, Jesus. Can I tell you, don't lose your hope. This world will deal you a bad hand. Hallelujah. Yes, it will. And the devil will tell you there's no use and there's no hope. And there is hope this morning. People are not looking to God. They're not praying and let the Lord fully come into their hearts. And the devil is a blind in their minds and filling them with hopelessness. He tells them there's no hope for you. Hallelujah. Somebody out there under the sound of my voice, there is somebody in your family or your neighborhood, oh God. Hallelujah. The devils are telling them or you, you'll never get out of your mess and you'll never get out of your situation. It'll never get any better for you. Hallelujah. And people give up on life and they turn to alcohol and pills or anything else that'll help them. These precious souls whom God loves, they give up inside of them. And when they don't have to, listen, this is what I want to tell you this morning. God won't give up if you don't. I said God won't give up if you don't. If there's a spark of hope inside and you got a desire to go to heaven and I'm making, God won't give up on you.
Hallelujah.
He'll never give up. He'll be a friend that stick closer than a brother to you. He'll never walk out on you. I'm telling you about somebody that loves you this morning.
But listen, God cannot help you if you quit now in believing in Him. The answer is Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the reason many have nervous breakdowns. All they see is things getting worse. They see the bad. They can't see any good. They don't go to God in prayer and just give it all, surrender it all to Him and open their heart. They won't get in His Word and read it. And because of that, the void inside of their soul turns to hopelessness. And some resort to suicide. That is not your answer.
No.
It'd be only the eternal sufferings of your soul will start then. Can I cry it from the housetop this morning? You don't have to give up.
Right.
There's hope in Jesus. Take the word of God, dear precious soul, and run the devil out. Run him out of your life right now. Take the word of God and believe it and run the devil out. Mm-hmm. Whew! Hallelujah, Jesus. The word of God will fill you with hope. It'll make the clouds of doubt hovering over you dissipate.
Yeah.
It'll bring heaven back into view in your life. You'll want to live when you have hope restored inside of you. Listen, here's where I still want to focus. Proverbs 13:12 this morning. Hope deferred. In other words, hope delayed. Hope that is slow in coming maketh the heart sick. The Hebrews says it makes the heart droop. But when the desire cometh, when the expectation returns, it is a tree of life. The tree will bloom again. Your tree will bear fruit again. Listen, when somebody's sick, they drop their heads and look down. They lose their energy and their drive. The motivation is gone in their life. But when the desire comes, when the desire rises back in their hearts, the joy of life will return. I can make it when I've got a hope down deep inside of me.
Yes, amen. Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus. Can you say this morning,
Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus, come and restore my vision.
Oh, God.
I feel like I'm talking to somebody.
Yes.
Jesus, I need you to renew my vision, my desire. Restore it back in me, God. Oh, the psalmist David said in Psalm 71:5, Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Psalms 31:24, Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. God told us in Hebrews 6 that He gave us His promises with an oath. He could swear by no greater. He swore by Himself and He gave us some promises. That we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Have you ran to God? Have you made Him your refuge? Have you got the anchor of blessed hope holding you? Are you out there Yes, I'm taking my time. You may be out there and have suffered loss, and the enemy has come and stolen something good out of your life. He has hit you with things, and you're aware of it. You're aware of it. He's knocked you down, and now he tells you you'll never make it. You'll never get back up.
Come on.
It's over for you. You'll never rise again and be what you used to be. I feel that that's a big lie of the devil right here this morning. Oh, you'll never feel what you used to feel. The devil tells you it is hopeless. And it fills you with doubt and fear. The vision you used to have of heaven is all but gone. The drive is gone. The joy is gone. But can I say to you, it's not over. Listen to Job 14 and 7 as they want to come up and get ready to sing. Job 14 and 7, he's speaking to us in the Holy Word. There is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again. There's hope. If it's cut down, that it'll sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Verse 8, though the root thereof wax old. Notice the word. The root wax old in the earth. Though it's been years in that shape and dried and shriveled up, and the stock thereof die in the ground. That's a mental picture of utter hopelessness. It's all dead. That tree is completely gone. But look at verse 9. Yet, underscore it, highlight it, bracket it, star it, yet, circle it. Yet means but wait a minute. Not so fast in your judgment of this tree. Yet that tree is a saying, I still believe. Yet there is still hope for me. God ain't done with me yet. He ain't gave up on me. The Holy Ghost said, yet at the scent of water, it'll bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Can I tell you, all that you need is the Holy Ghost to send another wave of glory your way, and send the showers of blessing, and pour upon you the water of His Spirit. Hallelujah. And you can spring to life again. Can you say, I want another drink from that well? I need the rain again. Does anyone out there feel like you've been cut down? Do you? As I close for this altar call, do you feel useless and empty? And your hope, it seems that it's weakened. And maybe some of you feel like, preacher, I feel like my hope is gone. It's gone. It's not like it used to be. All you need, this moment, is God's touch. All you need is Him to touch you by His Spirit. Well, listen as I close. There's a difference between wishing and hoping. You can wish every day all the time for things to be changed and be different, but that won't help you. It will never change a thing in your life. The sinner and the ungodly wish, but it does them no good. They go out of this world without hope, lost without God. Don't let the devil rob you. Don't let him lie to you. There's hope in God. Yeah, Lord. Can I read you one little last article? The last string of hope. The last string of hope. G.F. Watt has a famous painting that he made. He painted it so beautiful across his wall. And the picture is called Hope. It pictures a poor woman who is up against the whole world. Her eyes are bandaged. She can't see. She's blind. She can't see ahead of her. But in her hand she holds a harp. All the strings are broken except just one string. Those broken strings represent all of her shattered dreams and expectations and all of her disappointments. But that last string, she was down to one final string. The last unbroken string of hope. So she strikes it with all that she's got. And a glorious, joyous melody floats out over the whole world. It fills her dark skies with stars. It lets us know that when you're up against it, and that old voice says to you, you have nothing left. Remember, you got God's string of hope, and you can make it, as they sing. You can make it, child. Let God touch you right now. Would you pray? Whoever you are out there, you need a refreshing. You need a renewing. You need a reviving. Tell the Lord right now. Reach to Him. Reach to Him. Cry to Him and say, God, I need something in here. Lord, restore unto me the joy of your salvation.
Troubles.
Restore the hope.
From your eyes,
you're his child. God. God wants you to make it.
And he did.
God wants you to make it all the way to heaven. Don't you give up now. Don't draw back now. Don't drift back now. I'm telling somebody, take a fresh grip upon the cross. Return to the altar. Return to God. Grab a hold of the horns of the altar. Say, strengthen me, Lord. Strengthen me, Lord. Strengthen that hope down on the inside. Right to my vision again, oh God. Jesus.
And he cares for you.
One more time.
Someone to care. Someone to share all your troubles like no other.
Jesus,
he'll come down from the sky, brush those tears from your eyes.
You're his child,
and he cares for you.
I trust out there that somebody was touched and helped.